we're taking our reading from Job chapter 1, reading from verse 17 to the end of the chapter. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them away. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. May God add blessing to his word.
Well, good morning to all of you. It's wonderful for me to be here. Last night was my first time back here in the pulpit in months. I love this church. I love you as the people. And I love preaching. And so it was a very emotional time for me. And who knows what this morning will hold as well. But it's great to be here. I want to update you for some of you who kind of know what's happening for me. I started in a special program called CD40, and that was supposed to it was a chemo treatment that was going to build my immune system. I took three cycles of it and found it really wasn't doing as much as we felt it could and should, and so I've been out of that now for a little bit. And I feel great now that I'm not doing chemo anymore. I've been accepted into a radiotherapy program, and it'll be in Melbourne, and it could begin any time. So I said to him, "If you want to hear me preach, you better get me now this weekend, because I could be away. And when I go, I'll go for 6 weeks. It's 5 days, 30 treatments, 6 weeks straight. So 30 treatments of high-dose radiotherapy to get this cancer that's encircled my left lung. Now, there's some good news and bad news with that. The bad news is that the cancer is out of the pleura. It's on my chest wall. It's cracked a couple of ribs. And even now as I'm speaking, I have enormous pain in my shoulder. And managing that pain has been very difficult. The good news is that with this radiotherapy, this position for the tumor to be growing most heavily is a really great place for it to be, because it's right out in the open where the lasers can hit it. It's not near any vital organs, and so it's actually a very good place to be treated. And we're praying and hoping that this laser therapy, the radiation therapy, will be able to actually eradicate all of the tumor. So I hope you'll be praying with me in that. And hopefully the treatment will take away the pain as well. So that will hopefully kill two birds with one stone. But we're confident and we're expecting great things from God, and I hope you'll be praying with us in that. Thank you. Years ago, I read a story about a young couple. They were believers. They'd been believers for, many years. They had a child. They were thrilled. They realized the child had some genetic difficulties. A couple of years went by, and the child got very sick. And everyone in the church was concerned and everyone was praying. And yet after a couple years, the child died. It was a sad occasion. The couple slowly drifted away from the church. Pastor went around to see him and said, "What's wrong? What's up?" They said, "Pastor, we've lost our faith." I said, "What do you mean?" And here's what they said. "How could God allow a 3-year-old to die? How could God do that?" As the pastor walked away, it dawned on him, you know, children die in this world every day. Tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of children die every day. That never bothered your faith before, did it? You didn't really think about that much, did you? You see, what they were really saying is this. God, how could you let our 3-year-old die? How could you do this to us? We live in a day and age where the individual is king. It's the me society. And the whole world and everything wraps around us. And sadly, that infects even our belief in God and our faith. It's all about me and how I feel and how God treats me. And I say to God, I say, "God, I'll love you and I'll follow you. As long as you just keep me healthy, you keep me safe, you keep me prosperous, man, I'll be with you. I'll be there for you, God." But what happens when trials, pain and suffering enter into your life? Where's your faith then? What becomes of it? Ernest Hemingway was an ambulance driver in World War I. He got caught in an explosion and the doctors would remove 237 pieces of shrapnel from his body. He nearly died. He would convalesce in a room with other men who had equal, some even more serious injuries than him. And these men had all stared death in the face, and they developed a bond as they shared these stories, dealing with the pain, dealing with their suffering. And Hemingway got this idea, and that became a template for his writing for the rest of his life. And here's what he would do. Place a man in a life and death situation, and it will reveal who he truly is. Put a man in a life and death situation, and that's what will happen. His true character, who he really is, will be revealed. Let me say this. You place your faith, your beliefs in God in a crisis, and the quality of that faith will be revealed. What you really believe, what you truly believe, that will be revealed. What is the proper response in a trial? Loss, pain, suffering. How do we honor God in times of crises, in times of difficulty? Turn with me to Job chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, let's look in Job. The book of Job, as you all know, is this book about a man who suffered great loss. Look at how the book of Job actually begins. God and Satan are having this conversation, and God says, have you considered my servant Job? Job's pretty good. You know what Satan says? Satan says, of course he loves you, God. Of course he's following you. You're protecting him. You're looking after him. You've put this hedge around him. Nothing bad ever happens to him. Yes, he loves you. You take that hedge away, man, oh man, you see something different. And God says, okay, go ahead. Let's see. I'd like to look at Job's response. He loses his cattle. He loses his family. Later in chapter 2, he's going to lose his health. What's his response? Look in verse 20. At this, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, then he fell to the ground. You tear your robe and you shave your head. These are signs of grief in the ancient Near Eastern culture. These are signs of loss and sadness. And this is Job's initial response. It was one of grief. It was one of sadness. Tracy and I have experienced that. We've shed many tears over the last 4 months. We've had wonderful friends who've come up and hugged us, and they've just cried and said, we can't believe this is happening. And that's been special. We've valued that so much. But you need to understand, sadness is an initial response. Grief is an initial response. But you don't just stay there. You can't just wallow in that sadness. You need to move on. And look at what it says. He fell to the ground. He didn't fall to the ground in sadness. The Bible says he fell to the ground in worship. So now he's going to bring God into this. God's not someone who's just going to stay on the periphery. He's going to invite God into his pain. He's going to invite God into this trial. Falls on his face. He prostrates himself. And he begins to worship. Let's look at the substance of that worship. We see it in verses 20 and 21. Now, these are just a few short statements. I guarantee you, Job would have said a lot more, and the Bible's condensed it down and given us a summary. And look at what Job says. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. Naked. We all know what naked means. Can't even clothe yourself. You're vulnerable. We begin with nothing, and one day we'll end with nothing. Job understood his mortality. He understood who he really was. Do you? How many of you here believe that you're not susceptible to tragedy? How many here are immune to disease? Nothing can get to you. Nothing bad can come your way. How many here think in this body you are going to live forever? You're not going to die. Right? We're all naked. We're all vulnerable. And yet sometimes we deceive ourselves. We forget that very simple idea. Tracy and I were talking about life insurance for me just about a year ago, and I was like, what's going to happen to me? I'm healthy as a horse, you know? Nothing's going to happen to me. I forgot I'm naked. Vulnerable. I have limitations. I'm human. So are you. We don't like that idea of being naked. So we try to clothe our nakedness. We try to hide our nakedness with things like youth, wealth, and position and titles. That somehow we will overcome our nakedness. You won't. Job understood who he was. He understood who God is. Look at the next statement. What a great statement. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Can you say those words? The key in those words come in that very first line. The Lord gave. The Lord who gives. And Tracy and I received that initial diagnosis. We heard words like incurable. Palliative care. Less than a year to live. Not years, months. We were stunned. And I remember walking through the parking lot of Charlie's and holding Tracy's hand. And I turned to her and I said, I thank God for the 21 years we've had together. You're the love of my life. God has blessed me so greatly. I just want to thank God for you. You see, sometimes we forget it's the Lord who gives. Somehow we think we've done this. We've earned this. We've gone and built our world. What do you have that the Lord didn't give you? Your skills, your ability, even your ability to think and reason. The very beat of your heart right now, the breath in your body, they're all gifts that were given to you by God. And yet we forget that. And we make it all about us. And so whenever anything bad happens, all of a sudden we get bitter and twisted. And we say, God, how did you do that? What are you doing, God? Because you failed to be thankful and have a grateful heart and realize everything you've had, everything I've enjoyed for the last 49 years, Lord, I thank you. They are gifts. Do you realize that thankfulness and gratitude is the very quality that should separate us from people who don't know God? Because when good things happen, they don't know what to do. It's all about them. They don't have anyone to thank but themselves. Just pat themselves on the back. Well done. It's only the people of God who with a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving can say, Lord, thank you. I have a lot of time these days to meditate and reflect, spend time in cubicles, in scans, in little rooms where I'm just left alone by myself. I can quote scripture. Oftentimes I sing. There's a particular song I learned as a child. And it just keeps coming back to me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. I sing that aloud when none of the nurses or doctors are around. Thank you, Lord. How about you? Are you thankful? Whatever you have, 20 years, 40 years, 80 years, whatever God has given you, whatever He's put in your path, placed in your hand, can you say, thank you, Lord, that you are the great giver? Because when you can say thank you, and you know the Lord gives, when He takes away, you just say, Lord, it was all yours in the first place. My life, it's yours. So if you don't want to take it at 49 years, Lord, it's yours. That's your call. I accept that. The Lord takes away. We look at the story in Job and we see exactly God allowed this. God said to Job, all right. Or God said to Satan, okay, go ahead, try. You know what's really disturbing about the story of Job? You know what's really, really disturbing? His faith doesn't keep him from suffering. His faith actually invites the suffering. Wow, that's scary, isn't it? His faith doesn't keep him away from pain. His faith invites the pain. And yet we have people who run around and say, if you love God, everything's going to be wonderful. You say, hey, you just read Job. You haven't read all the Bible. I think you've missed a bit. People have said to me, why? Why you? Why this? We were told we have mesothelioma. Then we were told we have sarcomatoid mesothelioma. Mesothelioma is a rare cancer. I've never been around asbestos, but I got it anyways. Now they tell me you've got sarcomatoid, which is the rarest type of mesothelioma, the most resistant to treatment and the most aggressive. You say, wow, Lord. I didn't really ask for that. And people say, Graham, do you know what God's doing? I say, no, I don't know. I had plans. I was planning to be at a conference in South Africa in a few weeks. Planning on speaking at churches and enjoying other friends and being there with world leaders. That's what I had all sorts of plans. I'm working on writing. I had plans for what I wanted to see accomplished here at SUBY Church. And the Lord just said, we'll put all these on hold. We'll just put them on hold. Do I understand it? No, I don't. I don't understand it. All I know is God had a plan. It's been months and months since I've been here standing before you preaching. Several weeks ago, I was in the chemo ward. Guy walked in. He had the He had the surgery marks on his skull, and his hair was all shaved off. His name was Greg, and I began talking to him. He had brain cancer, and they were telling him they'd done all they could. I had a chance to talk to Greg, not about any special treatments that I knew of. I just talked to him about the hope that I had in Jesus Christ. I told him, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. The Lord's my shepherd. I want for nothing. Greg, one day I'm going to leave this body. It may be maybe soon, it may be later. But I have a hope that I know where I'm going to be. Maybe that was God's plan. Not that I speak here, but I'm speaking there in that chemo ward. Maybe that was his plan. I don't know. I'm just letting it unfold. I wouldn't have chosen this path. If God had told me, hey, Graham, here's something. Would you like this? No, God, I don't want that. I wouldn't have chosen it for myself. It has not been easy. There have been nights when I've had so much pain, and even with the good help of Dr. George O'Neill and others, I'm taking everything I can take to relieve my pain. And there's my dear wife, sitting there watching, feeling helpless, because there's nothing she can do. That's my journey and her journey. So if somebody says, Graham, has it been easy? It's not been easy. Believe me, it's been hard. But I'll tell you this, it's been good. Because we've seen God working. I felt God's presence. I felt Him leading me. I felt Him guiding us as a family. It's been a good journey. It's God's journey. Look with me in Job, verse 22. Job says, may the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. The Hebrew word there for wrongdoing comes from a root which means worthless. Think about it. Job never accused God of doing something that was worthless. Whatever God was doing, Job didn't understand it. I don't get it either. But I understand this. God, it's not worthless. There's a purpose. There's a plan. You're doing something good. I don't fully understand it. I don't know what it is. But I know you're doing something good. Lord, you have a plan. Now, I'm just watching it unfold in my life. Not easy, but it's good because I trust you, Lord. I trust what you're doing. That's my story. What about you? See, I wasn't going to make it all about me. Now it's your turn. There are many of you facing trials. Some of you are sick, like me. You've got a physical problem. Some of you have emotional issues. You've got struggles in your marriage, in your family. You're not sure if you can keep going. And there is a world of pain and a world of hurt there. Some of you have financial struggles. You're not sure how you're going to pay your mortgage next week. And some of you, you're not sure where you're going to be working. You're saying, Lord, I don't understand. That's your journey. It's your trial. I'm going to ask the guys to come and set up the cross here. And I'm just going to shift over here. You see these stones. These are from people from the other services. As I invited them to come forward and take a stone out of these baskets here. I invited them to take the stone and make it a declaration of trust in the living God. Whatever trial, whatever suffering, whatever difficulty you're going through now, you don't have to carry it. God is good. He has a purpose. You may not get it. You probably don't. I don't get it. But I can trust Him. I can acknowledge that God is good. And so in the other services, we invited people to come out of their seat, take a stone. You can come, you can kneel, you can stand. Have a prayer. You can pray out loud, pray silently, and then you set the stone at the foot of the cross. And you say, Lord, I'm going to leave it with You. I am trusting You. You are the all-wise God. You are the good God. And I can trust You. You ready for that step? To step out in trust, even in the midst of pain. My shoulder killing me right now. But I trust God. I'm going to ask Tracy to come and join me. There's going to be a video that's going to play. And as the music plays, I invite you, if you're in a place of trial, a place of difficulty, and you want to make a declaration of trust, you can join Tracy and myself right now, and you can make that declaration. May God bless you. we'll just wait as others come. It's okay. You come to the front, have your time of prayer. We'll make the time. Would you all bow with me in prayer? Lord, as I look out at these stones, and every one represents a burden, a pain, a testing, heartache. And there's a world of hurt even in this place. It's not easy. For many of us, it is not an easy path. But you are a good God. You will never leave us nor forsake us. You give us your Spirit. You grant us your peace. And you give us your promises. Your promise of goodness. That you are a God that works all things together for good to them that love him. And we say, yes, Lord, we believe you. And we trust you. Even on the hard path, pray for each person who's put a stone here. Lord, we can give thanks. We can bless your name. And we can say, you are good. And you do not fail us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.